guys. Welcome to the sixth episode of Never Offside with Julie and Kat. It's crazy to say it's our sixth one. Because
honestly, we had to count because we had that break there and I couldn't even tell you what number we're on. But thank you for confirming.
Yeah. So about break, by the way, I had a lot of people ask me how people decide and in the NHL where they go on break. And it's kind of funny, but we just kind of know that if you're on a West Coast team, you're probably going to go to Hawaii or Cabo, you know?
Yeah, typically.
Typically, the couples just go
geographically speaking.
Yeah, the couples go to Hawaii, the single guys go to Cabo. That's just kind of what happens, right? And then what I think happens is I think in the locker room, the guys kind of talk, and then they kind of all decide, oh, you're going there? Oh, where are you staying? You know, and then it just kind of becomes a group thing. And then you get to your destination, and then you realize that half of your hotel is the NHL, and you know more than half of the hotel, I guess, you know?
Totally.
So it's just kind of funny, and that's how it always goes, and that's how it's decided, I guess.
So how was Maui?
It was really fun. It was nice because we had just come from the Super Bowl. Then I saw you. We talked to Kev. And then we went straight to Maui and we kind of just wanted to do nothing, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we kind of achieved that. The guys went golfing. The girls, a lot of the girls are expecting. So it was really a more chill.
It was a tame group.
Yeah, it was a chill vibe. It was fun. It was relaxing and the weather was perfect. So it was really nice. And the whales were, they were just jumping everywhere. So.
The whales were wailing.
I was going to say the whales were wailing, but then I was like, is that weird?
I'll say it for you. Yeah, I'll be the weird one.
The whales were wailing. The whales were vibing. It was lovely. So how was your chill break home?
It was good. Yeah, we stayed home. So what dictates our trip is you know, my husband is rehabbing from injury, and so he's just making progress and making good strides. He's going to be back on the ice this week, so it really didn't make sense. We could have gone somewhere, but it just didn't really make sense, and we've been go, go, go here. So it was nice to just be home. The kids were in school for half of, like, the first week, so it was nice to just, like, go get lunch together and go do like normal things that we don't get to do during the season.
I was dying at your Four Nations video of you and the boys.
My gosh, let's talk about Four Nations.
Well, first of all, Four Nations on the show today, we have Natalie Miller, wife of JT Miller. So
yeah,
very excited to talk to her all about Four Nations and more. But yeah, I want your opinion on Four Nations because I feel like you were really invested.
We were very invested in just, we have the pride for Team USA. You know, Dylan Larkin is the captain of the Red Wings. He's also our neighbor. We're just invested in anything revolving Olympic type activity. And this is kind of like the preliminary, you know, event to it, if you would say. So we were all in. But like we said, going into this, we don't really know what to expect. You know, was it going to be like all-star vibes or was it going to be like, let's go, like going for gold? And it turns out it was the latter. And it could not be more thrilling to watch. And I think I speak for everybody. Just watching the level of compete and passion was just phenomenal and so much fun for the fans. And I think you touched on it. It was like, I think every player that wasn't playing had so much FOMO. Like, I'm not even a hockey player and I had FOMO.
Seriously, every guy in Maui literally were just glued to the screens. They were especially that USA versus Canada game.
So you had good times there though, because that was probably a good afternoon showing for you, because they were late here. East Coast, it was 8 p.m. So it would have been like
3. It was
yeah,
like 3-ish.
Perfect. Happy hour for you guys. We were trying to like keep our eyes peeled, like, you know, but good thing the games were exciting enough to make it worth it. But yeah, I think though, like, let's talk about the elephant in the room. What do we do about All-Star break? Because in All-Star games, like, what do we do? Because nothing's going to compare to this type of level of play and then versus All-Star break and All-Star games.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, honestly, Ty and I were talking about it. We were just at a restaurant the other day in San Jose, and hockey was everywhere after this.
Yeah.
And like, so, and just the amount of, if you go on Twitter, which I love Twitter, just the amount of athletes and celebrities and whatnot that were talking about it, you know? So I really feel like it really hit everywhere.
It grew the game. Like they wanted it to and continue to do. I mean, you have people, I mean, I'm from Texas, and I have people, you know, texting me being like, what is going on? And I'm like, yeah, this is it. And prepare for Italy and Olympics, because, you know, the stakes are even higher there. And now after this buildup, anyways, I just keep thinking about, you know, so if they bring back the World Cup, it's going to be, you know, World Cup to every 4 years and then Olympics and the switching. So every 2 years we're going to have some sort of, you know, intense competition.
Speaking of Italy, Team Italy, let's keep manifesting this.
Team Tyler Italy. Tifoli,
Team Italy.
Let's go.
2026, manifest.
Anyways, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that about All-Star Games, because I'm all for them, but we just have to figure out a way to make them a little bit more watchable. And
well, you're allowed to be offside on Never Offside. So
yeah, I'm going offside today.
Well, all things Four Nations, all things trades, all things moving from Canada to U.S., we're going to talk about with Natalie Miller. So she's up next.
Natalie, just welcome. You're just saying that you're brain dead, but I'm here to tell you that I have four kids that don't have school today, and I had a scheduling error, and so I'm praying Jeff shows up very soon so he can take over, and this is not a complete disaster.
So, Nat, have you, like, done anything lately?
I want to stop. I'm currently locked in a room in Hillary's house, because that's who we're living with currently, before we transition to the new rental in New York.
So we were like, where do we even start?
We have no idea what to ask you first.
Like,
so.
First, I think the obvious question is, how are you?
I don't know if I have a certain answer for that. No, we are doing really well. I think, like we were just talking about, my life has been a roller coaster for the past, I'd say, about 6 weeks. All like good things that are exciting and eventful for us, but just haven't gotten off the roller coaster yet.
Filled with every emotion, because it's not just the surface level. We're seeing a trade happen. You're going to Four Nations. You're doing that. Like, these things are like anticipating. Like, Four Nations, there's a lot of planning. The trade, which, you know, maybe we can get into, is like, how long is that lingering for? You know, like, there's so much high and low involved in this for you, and you're having to man it all with not only yourself, but three little kids, your husband, pets, a business. Like, how are you doing this? Like, you might be the most type A organized person I know, because we're able to schedule a podcast with you amongst it too.
Yeah. I really am type A. I am probably one of the most type A people you'll probably meet. And as anybody in Vancouver could tell, that trade was all over the media for a long time. I think I even chatted with Kat at one point, and we were just chit-chatting about teams. But it was nice to have a heads up. First two times JT was traded, I was 1 8 months pregnant, and the second time was 6 weeks postpartum with a one-year-old. So, and we had no heads up for those. So it was very overwhelming. You're dealing with all the hormones, whatever. This one we had a little bit of a heads up for, so I felt like I could prepare a little bit. So when it actually did come, I was still so shocked. We actually were on the Canucks Wives Whistler trip that me and a couple of girls had planned. And leading up to it, I kind of handed it over to another one of the players' girlfriends, and I was like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be around for this. Here's all the details. Here's the itinerary. You guys have fun. Got to a couple days before, and we were all just like, I should probably go on that. I mean, if he's not traded, I should still go and have a good time. And so I did, and we went to Whistler, which is like the best place ever in BC. And we were at this place called Longhorn celebrating champagne guns. The game was about to start, and I saw my phone ring, and I was like, oh no, it's like 10 minutes before the game starts. This is it. And I kind of like turned my phone to the girls, and you could just see everybody's face like, oh no way. So I stepped out. He said, I just got traded, talked to his agent, came back in and had a few cocktails, to say the least. We actually went back that night to the hotel. I stayed because I was like, we're not going anywhere tonight. And one of the other girls' significant others also got traded.
Which my gosh. Like
a whirlwind. She wasn't expecting it. I felt so bad for her. So I immediately just like problem solved and was like, you can live in our house in Pittsburgh. It's fine. You can just live in our house.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Right.
She texts me in the morning. She's like, I know we were really drunk last night, but, like, can I actually do that? And I was like, yeah, it's no problem.
Wait, was that the Heinens?
Yes.
Oh, I love Julie.
Ugh. Yeah. She's the best. Love her. I wanted to give her the biggest hug. But, honestly, they're living their best life in Pitt. So,
back.
I just started – we had about 10 days before Four Nations. Before the move.
So what was that like? You love Vancouver, but you're going back to New York. Like what emotions were going on there?
So many emotions. I feel like we like raised our children in Vancouver. And like I actually had so much like connected inside the community. And like we have a Cloud9 suite. And I love that team, love that organization. Can't say a single bad thing. I would have lived there forever. But also our families out in the East Coast. And my dad's getting older, our families are out here. So it was such a bittersweet moment of like Vancouver gave us so many great things, but also New York is like where it all started. So we kind of, you know, we were looking forward to it and we're finally here, loving it.
So we had a ton of questions for you, most people from Van, and a lot of people just want to tell you how much they appreciated you and Van. And they wanted to know about Cloud9. Just talk about it a little bit more and what you did in Vancouver and if you might be bringing that to New York one day.
I've gotten that question a lot. So Cloud9 stays. JT and I purchased that last July. We purchased for the whole season, not expecting a trade, but we pay for it up front, all the merch, everything. So we still host every single night, every home game. And all those families are pre-selected, all the kiddos and stuff. And I have a memory book that has like a little Polaroid with it. So at the end of the season, the Canucks were like, we'll ship it out to you. And so you can see all the families that he gave that night too. But that was – that Cloud9 is like my dream. I think like we weren't in Tampa long enough, but I got the idea like as we were going from city to city just to be able to give those families like a night of, you know, out of the hospital basically. So I really loved every second of Cloud9. That was one of the hardest things to say goodbye to. I actually popped in right before we left, to meet a family from Canuck's place. And it's my favorite place on earth. So it stays in Rogers Arena. And as far as it in New York, I don't think I'll be purchasing a box in Madison Square Garden anytime soon. We're about to buy a house. So, that we'll use that as a down payment, but, I think that JT and I will jump right into the community next season. They're really big. I've been approached by Make-A-Wish already. We'd love to be a part of the community. It's been my shtick this whole time. I always say it's how I feel like I'm part of the community when it's not really home. So I'm looking forward to what we get into next season.
Speaking of MSG, what was that like, your first game back at MSG?
Insane. I'm a totally different person than I was last time. I literally was pregnant with my oldest. And we were there 19 to 25. So I'm no 19-year-old anymore. But the girls were so nice. Like, it was such a warm welcome. Got a lot of love at the Four Nations tournament from Rangers fans that came up to us. And we're just like, can't wait to have you guys back. That place is unlike any other. It's the best.
Y'all's journey is just so fun to watch, like watching Cloud9 unfold and for you to like find your footing there, like you can really tell. And I think we all can, we feel that as the significant others. It's like, how can you dive into these communities that we call home during a hockey season that aren't necessarily home base? And you just did it so beautifully, and to watch it was so fun. So I can only imagine like your heartstrings being tugged at and the moving away from it. But you've moved to New York with three kids, dogs, and you're living with the Trocheks. So you guys go way back. How like wild is this and how fun?
Yeah, no, it's a dream, honestly. We're 5 minutes from them in Pittsburgh. Our children are best friends. My children started school here today in New York, and their oldest is in my oldest classroom, and it's such a dream. It makes a transition in telling the kids that dad was traded a little easier. I felt like it was a lot of tears, and then I was like, well, we're going to New York where the Trocheks are, and then it was all excitement. And then we physically had to tell them we had to live with them for a second. So that's been chaotic and fun in itself, but it is what it is.
I love that. I feel like
that's so fun. I feel like that's fun to get to do that. Like in our hockey lives, we do that like when we're younger, you know, like, you know, younger couples live together, like a single guy lives with like an older family, but to be able to do that, like with kids, it's chaotic and can be stressful, and scheduling and, you know, logistically sounds like a nightmare, but how fun for, you know, a couple weeks. That's going to go down as one of y'all's best memories.
Yeah, we were watching the game, I think last night, and JT had a couple goals, and she took a video of me and the kids just jumping around. I was like, oh, this is how we celebrate. Like, it's just like the chaos. And I'm literally sitting in her office wearing her gear. Like, I'm just literally like, yeah, we're just one big happy family right now.
Watching JT score that first goal at MSG, I texted you right away. I know you probably got 1,000, but I was like, oh my God, like success.
So much fun. You know? So much fun. You love to see them do well after a trade. He just said today he feels like he's been on a road trip for like 4 or 5 weeks. And it's nice to see him find his fitting, and the guys as well as the girls have been so great. Such a weird transition with the Four Nations and stuff.
Well, that first goal, yeah, that first goal post-trade is weirdly very emotional. It's just, yeah. And you really just, it's really easy to cheer for. So yeah. How do you deal with seeing your husband in the news all the time? Like, especially with the trade, you know, the trade deadline, every Four Nations, everything.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's expected, and the media out in Vancouver is, I mean, it's their world out there. They love their hockey players. It makes it one of the greatest places to play because they just are so diehard. I can't help but see it because I'm on social media, but he really isn't. So he just kind of put his head down, did his job, and, you know, tried to focus on the sport. But yeah, it's just, I feel like after 13 years as well, you kind of get used to it. And I feel like the Four Nations break was quite nice because it's not talking about, you know, the trade. I feel like it kind of was a nice buffer. And now we're just back in New York and back in MSG.
So talk about Four Nations. Like, I just want to hear all about it from start to finish. Like, just so give us the rundown.
So much fun. It's the coolest tournament I've ever seen. It was the coolest thing to experience with my children. My children thought, they didn't quite understand it at first, and they were like, why is dad's number changing again? Because he's been 8, 9, 10 in the last 3 weeks. But it was just the coolest thing. Montreal was incredible. I've never been as an adult. I was there as a kid, but I didn't really get to experience it. And Old Port was a good call, Kat. That area was unreal. We had a nice Airbnb right in Old Port. It was so cool. Very cold. Forgot how cold the East Coast was until I stepped outside. And Boston was great. We had a ton of family come to Boston. And we actually saw JT a good bit, which was nice because I feel like the kids, he kind of just left right after the trade. So we had about 10 days without him. But it was nice. It was nice to experience with him, honestly. It was so cool.
So were they in a hotel and you were in a house with the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So yeah. How long were you in Montreal for, and then you guys as a team went to Boston together?
Yeah, we were in Montreal for 5, and then there was quite a storm going out. So we actually left the night of the USA-Canada game. We flew out, me, the kids, the nanny, and one of the girlfriends on Team USA. We flew out that night. landed in Boston in the middle of the night. Terrifying landing. And then we were in Boston for 5.
So I wish I could have been sitting near you during that USA-Canada game. How was your heart rate?
Oh, my God. It was insane. It was insane. You could barely hear anything because of the booing, because I feel like they just booed the whole time, which I get it. But, yeah, no, it was the intensity in there was insane.
Well, and then JT getting in on – there was one fight, there was two fights, and then there was three fights. So JT Miller got his say in there too. And it was just like, as a fan watching, I can only imagine what his wife was like. Yeah. You know, you're trying to recover from the first 5 seconds of the game, and then he steps in.
Yeah, I swear the crowd stood for like 15 minutes. I literally was like, are we going to, oh, we're not, okay, we're not sitting. All right, got it.
We're not.
When he got in and in that fight, like, what was your immediate reaction?
Why do you always pick the tallest guy? Like, why? I literally was like, why? I always say that, which I'm like, you know, I don't want to pick somebody smaller than you, so that's fine. But really, 6'8"?
But honestly, like, JT's a big guy. And that's what I said to Jeff and the boys sitting next to me. I'm like, JT's a big guy. Who is this other guy? And my boys quickly told me he's one of the biggest guys in the league. And I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah. I would love to see like a little statistic sheet of like who my husband has fought and their height and why are they all over 6'5".
I mean.
Not on skates too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So funny.
That's nuts.
Four Nations was literally one of the most exciting things I've ever watched as a fan. I think us out on the outside that didn't really know what to expect, you know, like people are going on vacation, we're checking out for a little bit. Last podcast, we were kind of like, yeah, we'll see like what it's like. It exceeded every expectation. And as a family member, I can only imagine that y'all just felt just this intense pride to be playing for your country and, you know, cheering on your hubby. That's so cool. Oh,
I do. I remember the call when he got it, and it was – my husband doesn't like to – like he's – I'd like to say he's more on the humble side. He doesn't really expect to do – like, but when he made that team, he was like, this is like, you know, my Super Bowl. Like, this is the cool – one of the coolest things that I'll probably ever do in my career. And to play among those other guys, and it was just – I mean, it was such a good group of people, and – we stayed up that last night pretty late, and we're all sitting around talking, sharing stories. And I'm like, this is just the coolest thing ever.
I have to say, I was on vacation with guys from all over the world, and I've never seen so much FOMO of guys that were on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
it was wild. We were sitting at these like lovely Maui bars, and the guys like were just dialed, you know? So
yeah,
they were all very, very proud and very missing out, I guess.
Yeah.
So, Jules, I didn't tell you this, but Natalie told me a story of her at Four Nations with the commish.
Oh, you got to hang with Garzy?
Garzy. I did tell him I was hopping on the pod. It was after the USA-Canada game. I probably had a few sodas. So I went up to him. He actually met my oldest daughter when she was 6 days old. I had her in typical hockey fashion. I couldn't miss a game 7 of the Eastern Conference final. So I put my diaper on, strapped on the baby carrier, and went to the game. And he was in the elevator with me and my parents. He like leaned over. He's like, oh my gosh, how old? And I'm like, 6 days. He's like, here to watch dad? I'm like, yep. And I kind of just like went off the other. And my dad was freaking out. He's like, Natalie, do you know who that is? That's Gary Bettman. And I was like, oh no, dad, I'm well aware who that is. Yes, thank you. So I went up to him the other night, and I introduced my daughter, and I was like, you actually met her as a little baby. He is the nicest guy. Seriously. He was
so nice.
Yeah. I brought up your guys' interview. It was a great interview. And I was like, it really was.
Oh, well, good. I want a part two with him because I seriously have so many more questions to ask. But yeah. I want to go back to like, okay, you're managing a trade still right now, moving your house, not just, you know, in the neighborhood. You're moving it across countries. And I've done a cross-border move. You're now doing 2 because you moved from Tampa to Van and now back to New York. How involved are the teams on each side with you for that? Because I know every team's different. And I want to get into how you're managing your business too, because I want to talk all about your interior design and things like that and how you can pick up and start and stop with all this going on.
Totally. Both teams have been super helpful. The Canucks organization's insane. Since the second we got there, they've been so helpful. And even after the trade, I had to call for a few items. We had to prove that there was at least somebody in the country to receive our dogs. So they were pulling flights and whatnot. But the Rangers are the ones that handle the move. And they've been fantastic shipping cars. Anything I need, they've been on it. It takes, as you know, quite a bit. I don't know if it would have taken that long from Montreal to Detroit, but quite a bit of time to get it from west to east. So we are about a 10-day window and hoping that all clears at customs. So we're set to move into our new place probably around the 4th.
That's so exciting. You are just handling everything so gracefully from afar, at least it looks like. I know probably inside you're feeling a little overwhelmed.
The cross-border move really does add a layer because there are certain things that can't go between the countries, stuff like that. There's just like, it's always different, right? It's always
fun. Can I add a story to this? Sorry, it just made me think because I just saw the deer head in my basement. But my husband, during the lockout in 2012, went hunting a lot in Edmonton, Alberta. So he shot a buck in Edmonton, and then we got traded to Montreal in 2015. And just in that move logistically, I don't know if like the deer was ready per se, like mounted properly. Natalie, JT is a hunter, so he would know.
I was like, where is this going?
Right. Anyways, okay. All this to say is the deer head like just stays in Edmonton with a friend, and we're just like, we'll get this one day. Well, it turns out you like can't get a deer head like across the border of the US. So we've had to like, it sat there for forever. And then I think when Edmonton played here, like recently, they just put it on a flight with the Oilers. Like one of the managers like packed it and got our deer head here. They might have to edit this out. But we finally got the deer that was from Edmonton back, and it's going to go on a wall somewhere here.
That's incredible.
Like there's so many papers and things that you had to do, and Jeff like had a tag for it when he shot it, but then like that paperwork got lost because it was in 2012. So then we had no like legitimate paperwork for it. Anyways, it is a whole debacle, and now the deer is in our basement waiting to be mounted on a wall.
Oh, my Pittsburgh basement's full of deer heads, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, anyways.
I was going to say, I was bummed about the wine I had to leave in Canada because, like, you can't cross
the border. Oh, the wine's a whole nother beast in our house, too. So we will leave that out because it's probably not the way you're supposed to do it.
I definitely gave it away to anybody that helped me that week. I was like, oh, my gosh, thanks so much for the play date. Here's a bottle of Artemis.
Enjoy
that I can't
this.
Take across the border.
Like, well, I literally was handing it to, like, their kindergarten teacher. I was like, thank you so much for everything this school year. Here's a bottle of Guinness. She's like, you see my alcohol?
Hope you drink wine.
Yeah. I'm hoping you're not sober.
I always, like, never know with teachers. I'm like, do I give them wine or do I not? And then sometimes I get so close with them, I ask them. I'm like, do you drink wine? Because this is going to be your end of year gift. But
listen, if they're a kindergartner or first grade teacher and they don't drink wine, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Not a match.
We're not a match. Back to the outdoorsy man. We bought a half of a bison in Edmonton with a couple of teammates and we split it. And so when we got traded, we had a freezer full of bison. And we were like, we are not transporting this. So that was my going away gift to everybody on the team. You get a bag of bison. You get a bag of bison. Like, it's ridiculous.
I can't even imagine the life that JT and I would live if we lived in Edmonton, because it sounds like the Canadian Pittsburgh, like where
you would never see them.
Yeah.
They would get off the plane at 1 a.m. and they would get some Temihos and they would go get ready to go on a morning hunt before morning skate.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That is not
good. And there was a big crew when we were there that like would like go hunt before skates.
Wow.
You also shared a picture of us, of your little guy, with obviously in the hospital. And it was, we started talking on side text about like the things that happened. And I was like, this is going to be a segment of this interview today or chat of the shit that happens when the guys are on the road. And like fill in the blank, because I know every hockey wife has 10 stories to tell.
Yeah, so insane. Probably my favorite one. And just a little backstory so it makes sense. If you're from Vancouver or you've been at Rogers Arena the past, maybe last season into this season, you would have heard the JT Miller chants, which were insane. JT and I thought it was like the funniest thing ever. He's like, never would I ever thought people would chant my name, but that's the coolest thing. So our kids started to catch on to it. I think I posted a video of like my kid chanting it from his crib. And just like the kids would do it at school. It was so embarrassing. And so JT's on the road. I just had gotten back from a trip with my friend and let the nanny go. She was there all weekend. And like an hour later, I hear like this blood-curdling scream. And it's my littlest, my two-year-old boy, got his pinky shut in our mudroom door, the hinge part. Mm. Just severed it right off. And I had the pinky and the finger in the rag. I called 911. I actually called JT first. I don't know what I was thinking, what he was going to do. He's in a room full of people in a hotel room. And I was like, oh, I had blood all over the front of me. And he was like, what's going on? I was like, oh, his pinky just got chopped off. Obviously more frantic than that. He's like, you might want to call 911. I think you need to go to the hospital. He's acting like he can call like the team doctor to come stitch it. And I'm like, no, it's like, we're like hemorrhaging blood at this point. He's like, all right, call 911. We go to, long story short, we go to Children's and we walk in. I open the rag. They're like, okay, let's get him to the OR. They call a hand specialist, plastic surgeon, the whole crew. And shout out to the doctors at BC Children's Hospital. They were incredible within like 30 minutes. But we're on our way, basically walking him to the OR and my son's chanting, Pinky Miller. Like all the way down. The nurses are dying. They all know that it's shaking.
No.
And I'm literally like, no way. Wouldn't stop.
Kid is the funniest kid ever. If that's what he's coming up with yeah. Missing a finger.
Yeah. I literally was, he was like, after the surgery, he was like going like this. I'm like, I'm Pinky Miller. I'm like, I can't.
So during this event, were your girls home too?
Yeah, so my middle child was the one that slammed the door.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah.
And then so you're like.
There were tears. I had a good group of girlfriends in van outside of hockey that rushed over quickly to put my other two down. One of them had to drive me to Children's. It was chaotic.
That wouldn't have happened if JT was home, huh?
It wouldn't. Kat, I don't think you were in Montreal yet. I'm trying to go back in my – because Bowen was just a baby. No. So Boyd is my oldest. He was at school. He has a nut allergy. He had an allergic reaction to something. The school calls me and says, like, we got to call the ambulance. We got to get him, you know, to the hospital. And so I rush there. And Barrett is also at the same school. And I call Angela Price and I say, I'm going with Boyd to the hospital. Barrett's still at school. Can you pick him up? And then I had the baby with me, which was Bowen at the time. So then I had a school teacher follow me in my car with the baby while I rode in the ambulance with Boyd. Okay. We go to Montreal Children's. Boyd gets all set up. Everything's fine. They get him on a steroid. His EpiPen has gone through. We just have to wait the 6 hours. Angela picks up Barrett from school, takes him home, gets him bathed. He's hanging out with them. Totally good. We leave the hospital about 7 p.m., drive back to Angela's house. I'm going to pick him up on my way home. I ring the doorbell, and mind you, Jeff and them are in Buffalo. So he knows all about Boyd while we're, you know, he's like heading to the rink, and I'm like, Boyd's stable, we're good, don't worry, go, good luck. I go ring the doorbell at Angie's house, and all of a sudden, and she's going to hate that I tell this story because she always feels so bad. ring the doorbell, hear this kid just start bawling, crying. And I'm like, oh, that's Barrett. And come out, he fell down the stairs. And I kid you not, he broke his arm. So I go and I take the other kids back home. And he's just that crying, that cry that, you know, like we can't just put some ice on it and we're going to be okay. It's this is wrong. I got to take you in. So I get my babysitter to meet me at the house. I get everybody set up. Everybody's good. I can put the baby down. So now I don't have to go back to the hospital with the other baby. Barrett and I go back to the hospital, and Barrett and Boyd look a lot alike at this time. And we walk in and the triage nurses see us and they think it's Boyd who had like another reaction. And that's like bad when there's an allergy. And I'm like, no, this is my second child and he has a broken arm. And they were like, and then a broken arm at Montreal Children's, like typically I would like probably have to sit and wait a little bit. They felt so bad because I'd been there all day with Boyd, got him in there. Game ends. Jeff calls me and he's like, everybody's good. And I go, you're not even going to freaking believe this. And I tell him everything, that he's like, no way. And then they were coming right home that night. He ended up beating me home, letting the babysitter go. And we walk in, Bear has a cast on. The shit that happens when the guys are on the road.
Like, yeah. You know, I went to Children's probably 6 weeks after that Owen incident. My middle had pneumonia at Christmas. And I walked in and she had to get a chest x-ray. And I walked in and I was like, oh, it's the same x-ray room as Owen's finger. And she goes, are you Pinky Miller's mom?
Stop.
What? She goes, that story goes down in history here at BC Children's. I'm like,
that's so epic.
That's pretty cool.
They also, when we went in there, knew that I was the owner of Cloud. And they were like, yeah, it was pretty cool. Not cool, but cool.
I mean, making the most of every situation. So
this is why I only like 4-pound creatures in my home. So more props to you girls.
That's, I don't think my creatures ever weighed 4 pounds.
Yeah.
The Dons.
So are you still doing your interior design?
I am, yes. So to go back to when you were asking, my interior design business is U.S.-based. So when I did it out in Canada, I was a little limited. Also, just the timing of it, my projects can go 18 to 24 months. So when you sign an extension, I'm like, this is great. I can take on bigger projects. We'll be here more. We'll be here almost till July. I picked up a few projects last season. I only picked up one this season. So I really wrapped everything up before the trade, which was nice. My clients were really understanding with all that, which I appreciate. And I probably won't pick up another project. JT and I will buy here in New York, and it's looking like I'll reno something. Just the area we're in is beautiful for like older homes, which I love because it has a ton of character, but just need some updating. So that may be what takes over my time here for the next probably year. So I'm probably not going to pick up any new projects here in the time being, which is sad, but I also like need to get my bearings.
Yeah. And you'll have a project of your own.
Yeah. Which is easy client, because I don't need to go back and forth.
How was that? Were you able to work like between Canada and US? How was that for your business?
Yeah, I had a work permit for my business. It was just the timing stuff was hard. Like it really, there was a certain point in the season where I couldn't pick on any projects, or if I picked on little ones, it's hard to get portfolio pieces out of that. So it was all, a lot of them were that you don't see half the projects that I've done, because there's three or four that I never got to photograph. I'll have to head back to Van at some point. But it's really cool to be able to design both on the West Coast and the East Coast, such different styles. JT and I were featured in Vancouver Magazine in December, right before we left, which is a really cool piece on the rental that we lived in and I designed all the furniture in. But yeah, it's different. It's definitely a different way of design out there. But where we live now in New York is actually where my design style started. So it's all the houses look like I would want to live in them.
Nice. Crazy you mentioning your rental and van, because it's our 5-year friendiversary this week. Yeah. And we spent some time in that rental and van with you, which is crazy to think about. That was 5 years ago. But yeah, back to Vancouver, honestly, the majority of the questions are what you're going to miss most about Van. So I feel like you have a lot.
I'll name top three. Cloud Nine is a big one that pretty much broke my heart. The sights, that's one of the most beautiful places that me and my family will ever get to live. You got the ocean and the mountains and the mild weather. I love the rain there. People are always like, how do you live in the rain? It's actually more rainy in Pittsburgh than it is in Vancouver, so I was used to it. And the food. That's the best fresh fish, seafood, sushi, everything, the most exotic food that you can eat. And my kids ate all of it, oddly enough. Yeah, those three.
What were some of your favorite spots to eat in Van?
Loved Elisa Steakhouse. We went there on my going away party night. Miku is a great sushi spot. Zen Sushi. We lived on the north. I guess I can say now where I lived because we don't live there anymore. But we lived in West Vancouver, which is pretty separate from everybody else. Good schools, private areas. But they had some good restaurants like right on the water there that we loved.
Remember when Ty got traded there and we had that like thing after the first game? I forget what that was called, where they had like food and drinks for us like, after one of the games.
Yeah.
And I just remember the sushi. We were like, this is insane that this is in an arena, but it was so good. So
yeah,
fun.
No, the food is so good.
Where were your favorite spots, like in Whistler? Like what were some of your favorite things to do there?
Yeah, Whistler was really awesome. We went up a couple times. That was like our wives' trip getaway. So it's only an hour and a half, so it was actually nice. I really liked going down like Ambleside Beach. We went down there all the time with the kids. And then a lot of the time we spent at Rogers Arena. It literally was just like our home away from home is that rink.
Natalie and I had a really fun – we were only there for like a month before COVID hit and the guys went into the bubble together. But Nat and I had a fun, very long day at Cactus Club right there on the water.
Oh, we sure did. We crawled out of there.
I love a good Cactus Club margarita. You cannot go wrong with those.
So good. So girl. I was at Earl's in Boston the other day. I didn't realize they had those in the States.
Mm.
They have Joey now here in California, which is kind of crazy too.
Now that you're back in New York, what are you most excited about and looking forward to? Like the things that you miss from New York and kind of a different time of your life, so it might look different, but.
I think being close to family is number one. My dad's in his 70s now. My niece and nephew are growing up very rapidly. It's an event to go out to Vancouver. My family always did it. But in case of emergencies and stuff, like I go to Mexico in a couple weeks and my mother-in-law is like, oh, I'll come down. Like, it's fine. I'll literally drive in. Like it's the conveniency. And I feel like my kids don't know any better of the family, like living far away, cause they came in pretty frequently, but we've already seen the family a good bit since we've been here. And it makes it so much easier to be around family. And it makes it fun for them to be able to see them play.
Other than the games, have you gone into the city at all?
Not yet. Not yet.
You need to take a beat. You need to rest before you.
Trust me, I'm on my way. I got my closet edited before I left Vancouver so I could do a little shopping when I get here.
Love that for you. You deserve it.
I think just the chaos of it all. I feel like I didn't get any closure with Vancouver. So I feel like if I could say anything, I'd say that I loved our time there. So did JT. And they were just super honored to play in a city like that. But I feel like since the trade, it's been a whirlwind and we haven't been able to like sit down and quite reflect on it yet, but we did really love our time there in Vancouver.
Thank you so much for being with us and telling us everything of your last few crazy weeks. And thanks for making time for us.
No problem.
I mean, to pencil us into this busy life of yours.
No problem. Anytime.
Just add one more thing.
It's an honor, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
That was so nice. I mean, it's crazy how much she's got going the last few weeks. So that was really nice of her to carve some time out for us. You know?
Natalie Miller is so impressive. Like just how she balances it all and just everything with such grace through it. And she's so damn organized. But the Pinky Miller story, that's epic right there. Pinky Miller. I love it.
She's great. She's just so passionate, you know, and like just all the all the stuff she does, like all the charity, she's just like, she's just a great, great person. And she really leans into the community. So
yeah, I love that.
Love that about her. It's crazy. It's actually so crazy that Tyler was traded there 5 years ago to Van. But the weird thing is that he was traded right after his outdoor game hat trick. So.
Oh, right.
So the last couple weeks was, you know, like a 5-year anniversary of Tyler getting traded. But then it was also a 5-year anniversary of his outdoor game hat trick. So stadium series.
This weekend. Do you like my new gear? My new, I ordered all this new gear and Jeff brought it home from the rink the other day and I quickly snagged this hat.
The red pops. I really like.
I love it. I don't think I'm going to take it off. Yeah, so we're headed to Columbus this weekend to Detroit Red Wings versus the Blue Jackets and the Ohio State Buckeyes Horseshoe. Is that what we call it? Yeah, stadium series. So looking forward to it. This will be our fourth outdoor game, I think, if I'm counting right. So I kind of have my, you know, I kind of know what to expect, but every team and every outdoor game is such a different experience from our side. So logistics are getting sorted out right now, but taking all the boys. Jeff won't be playing in it this year, unfortunately, but we'll get to enjoy all of the things leading up to it. Like Friday night, they have a family skate, which is just so fun.
That's the best part. The family skate is just so much fun.
Honestly, that's like the bookmark part for me is like, getting to the family skate, and then the game will be just a bonus.
Are all the girls going? Do you guys have any plans with the girls?
Yeah, all the girls are going. We're just trying to figure it out now. We're all driving down separately, and then the guys have the day off on Sunday after the game, so they're going to be allowed to stay the night with us. The game's at 6 p.m., so they're going to be allowed to stay the night on Saturday, and we can drive back with our significant others on Sunday, which will be nice. We're all just, you know, the group chat is flying right now with what we're wearing, getting all of that stuff together. Line Change is doing a couple really fun things for the girls and the kids. So, yeah.
What can you spill about jackets? Do we have, like, a certain jacket, or are you just going to make me – surprise.
You will be surprised. We do have a jacket. It was a little like, I was a little nervous with the weather because you never know what the weather is going to do. So praying the weather stays as it does. Or just there's no precipitation, really. That's the only thing that would hinder this look. But it's super cute and I'm super proud of it. And I think the girls all love it. And it's just going to be a piece that like stays in your closet forever. So
kind of want them to be like evergreen, I guess.
Yeah, the word you want to be able, that's at least with like how I look at everything, I want to be able to wear this again and again and again. So this jacket, I'm staring at it right here, it's actually like right off screen, so yeah. I can show you after Kat. So we have that.
Give people what they want, Julie. Give people what they want.
I can't, you just have to tune in. Yeah. We'll show some sneak peeks this week. So I'm actually kind of in charge of all of that. So that's consuming my week and then getting a whole family down there.
See, I like that you're in charge of that because you do understand the let's not go crazy here and spend money on something that we're never going to ever look at again, which I've got a lot of those from different teams.
Yeah. Oh, so. Totally. I mean, there's the whole bin full of stuff that's like, this was nice for one wear. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so we've got that, and I'm just going to be taking ice baths every day leading up because I played in a hockey game versus my oldest son's team last night.
I saw that. I was very curious what that meant. Like, what were you doing?
It was just – so we played on this outdoor rink here in Detroit, and their season's kind of dwindling. They're in playoffs, but they had this ice booked, so they did just a fun parent versus kid game. And Jeff was unavailable to play, so I was the parent that stepped in. And let me just tell you, I appreciate what our husbands do so much. Like, I fully am like, you guys are awesome. But after playing in a full game at the level that I was playing at, I have so much more of appreciation for how hard they go every single day and have 4 days off a month and travel on top of it. Like, I don't know how their bodies do it.
I often tell my friends not in the hockey world that I think it's very bizarre that my husband goes to work and he goes on the ice. He goes and skates at work. I think that's the weird. We've been together, what, like 10 years? I still don't understand that when he's leaving to go to work, he's going to
play a game, which is fine.
Yeah, he's going to go put on skates and go on ice. And like, it's just, it still has not clicked in my head that that's.
Yeah. Well, it's just the physical exertion on top of, like, in our idea, right? It's like, you guys get to go to work and you get to have fun. You get to go play a game. You get to go play a kid's game.
Yeah,
it is. But holy crap. Oh, you guys, I cannot move. I scheduled a chiropractor appointment for this week so I get put back together. And yeah, I've already asked Jeff, though, my competitive spirit is that, like, if I'm going to be part of this family, I need to learn how to skate properly. So I need skating lessons. So I think I'm going to try to figure out how to weasel in, like, a couple, like, skating lessons here, because I need to learn how to work my edges. Let's just say that
as well. I could very much use that. Did you show them any mercy?
Well, the other dads, so I was the only mom on the team that played. That was another thing. But the other dads were like, okay, you know where to be. Like, and I go, yeah, my brain knows exactly where to go. I just can't get there. And I don't know how to stop. So
I feel like your field hockey kind of came out, right? Like,
exactly. And it's a really frustrating thing, to be honest, because I'm like, I know what I want to do. I just can't do it. So they so graciously set me up beautifully. And I actually had 6 goals and 1 assist, but we don't have to talk about it too much, you know, trying to be humble here. My first game, beginner's luck. I think.
How did you do that with not being a great skater? Like,
I think a couple of the goals were gimmies. But I did have like a couple legitimate goals and I was very proud. I think I had a natural hat trick and then the other ones were just like bonus. Like the goalie was just doing something funny. I don't know. That's what I think. Maybe the PWHL, there's still a spot for me.
Well, I'm sure Jeff was very proud.
He was laughing. And then now he's like, look what you did. Now you can't walk. And I'm like, I know. I'm going to get myself fixed.
That's funny because the last family skate here, I think it was the Christmas skate, Ty was getting made fun of because he had to hold my hand. And it's just, again, like, you're whatever. And I just still can't do it. So I
know. Well, skating lessons. Here's to our future of skating. I'm doing it. I have to. If I'm going to keep up with my boys, you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah. Well, next time I see you in real life, maybe we'll go skating.
I just want to be able to, like, do a crossover and turn. I don't know. I'm analyzing my lack of skill too much.
Oh, I get it. Well, did you play on what was that in Montreal? There was that.
The have-nots.
Yeah, did you play on that?
I did. That's where all my gear came from. So I dusted off the gear from 5 years ago. Yeah, because Bowen was just a baby. So we had a team there in Montreal. The girls all committed to every Wednesday we played. And we had a coach. And it started out as essentially skating lessons. And then we started to scrimmage by the end of the year. And they were, like, looking for, like, games with, like, leagues that we could, like, just play fun games in. We never got to that point. But yeah, so it was a fun time in Montreal. Wow. So
I never got to join that because of COVID. But yeah, tonight I'm actually heading to Montreal. So
oh my gosh. Just jet setting across the country.
I know. The Sharks play there on Thursday. Ty has the day off tomorrow. So I'm gonna fly there tonight on a red eye and then
First stop? Where are you going? First stop tomorrow.
Mandy's. Go get a salad at Mandy's. And then I think we're going to maybe hit up Boda Boda. And yeah, I don't know. I've got to get I'm only there for 3 nights. So I'm choosing wisely our dinners. So.
Oh, I'm so jealous of the food you're going to eat this week. That's so fun.
I know. I'm excited. Anyways.
A whole lot to catch up again next week with our next guest. We're going to be chatting with We're going to be chatting with Mackenzie Larkin, wife of Dylan Larkin of the Detroit Red Wings.
I feel like you were going to say my captain's wife.
I don't know. That's my captain.
My captain's wife.
My captain. Our captain. Yeah, we're going to chat with Kins, and she can give us a little bit more insight on how Four Nations went for them and all things Stadium Series, all things Detroit.
Can't wait.
Like, subscribe. Do all the things that you know how to do with our podcast, and share with your friends and fam.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram @NeverOffsidePod. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.